Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I'm John Ledyard from thedraftnetwork.com, along with Trevor Sikkema, also from thedraftnetwork.com. We are joined by our esteemed colleague and renowned wide receiver specialist, Brad Kelly, also from thedraftnetwork.com. It's like a lot of great things are from the Draft Network, man, now that you think about it. Maybe you should go over and check out thedraftnetwork.com for all your draft content.
Hit follow on Twitter. Head over to IG. Smash that follow button. Head over to YouTube. Blast that follow button, you know?
Beautiful. It sounds like everything on my to-do list if I'm a listener of this show. Brad, thank you so much for joining us. How have you enjoyed your week so far in Mobile?
It's been absolutely incredible. Our two live shows have been, I think they were hits.
Yeah, they've been a lot of fun. Absolutely hits. Yeah.
And it's been great.
Looking forward to the numbers also think they were hits. The people have spoken. They've said these shows are hits, and we tend to agree, and we'll have more live coverage from the Senior Bowl after practice today, which we're extremely excited about as well, to get back to the post-practice stuff. Yesterday's mock draft was fun. If you haven't checked it out yet, go over to the Draft Network, the site, or at Draft Network LLC on Twitter. Check out the live mock draft show that we did on Wednesday, and it was a ton of fun. We did all 32 picks. Full staff got involved. Everybody made different picks. We had a blast with it. It was really, really well done. So check that out. Let us know what you guys think. And we'll have more great coverage, as I said, today after practice. We'll get back to the post-practice shows. Brad, we have you on here to talk about wide receivers because I think it's been the most impressive position group so far in Mobile. Some real clear standouts. But before we hit the record button on this, we were discussing, I don't even know how we got onto it, probably some ridiculous tangent of a conversation prompted by Ben Solak. But before we got on here, we were discussing one of the oddest childhood crushes that we had, our teen crushes that we had.
You had one right away.
Yes, I did. I had one right away that I know.
What is it?
Okay, before we get to Brad.
Are your oddest celebrity crush?
It's odd. It's just an odd celebrity crush.
Is it childhood or like?
Yeah, it was like, I think I was like an early teen, I want to say.
Okay, probably, so that counts. Yeah, that counts. Yeah. All right.
Shawn Johnson, the gymnast.
Oh my God.
Oh, she's a babe.
Yes.
She's a babe.
Yes.
No way.
Exactly. And I was like, okay, Shawn Johnson is... So wait, that's your son?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I told you she was married to a football player. She's married to a football player.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Yeah. Yes. Oh, my God. That's so funny because Brad didn't tell me before we went on the show who his celebrity crush was. I had no idea until I said that. But, yeah, Shawn Johnson.
Wait, you said you had two, didn't you?
Yeah, I did have two.
What was the other one?
I don't know. I can't remember now.
Okay.
I'm lost. Too many. There were so many. Shawn Johnson got into your mind. Now you can't think of anybody else.
Nobody else.
There wasn't.
Shawn Johnson.
Honestly. So is that surprise to you, Trevor?
No.
Or can you see that?
No, I can totally see that.
Okay, all right. Some people I've told him before, they've been like, what? Shawn Johnson? Like, I don't know. I didn't think. But no, she was cute, man. I'm telling you. I was about it. What about you?
Basically, any actress that played Pink Ranger in Power Rangers. That's my odd celebrity crush. There have been like three of them, and like basically all of them I'm into. Doesn't matter.
Just Pink Power Ranger.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was probably my celebrity crush. Like I was growing up, and it was like the first time I was like attracted to somebody else. You know, Pink Ranger.
Wow. Couldn't be me, but at the same time.
No, yeah, that you're weird. If you didn't have a crush on Pink Ranger, you're weird.
Tweet at Draft Network LLC or at Tampa Bay Trey, TRE, and let him know whether you agree with him or not after that you listen to the show or during listening to the show. In the meantime, let's navigate back to Mobile to talk Senior Bowl.
Draft crushes.
Yes, draft crushes.
You could have segued there, and I tried to let you do it, but you failed.
I'm sorry. You want to take over this part?
No.
Okay. We're going to segue over to Senior Bowl wide receiver standouts, and Brad, lots of receivers standing out here.
Yep.
Who has been most surprising to you in terms of a guy that stood out that's caught your eye this week that you really didn't know what to expect going in?
I would say Penny Hart, receiver from Georgia State, slot receiver. Really, really fast feet. He's been running routes like crazy. There was a route today he ran against a very good defensive back in Nasir Adderley, and he shook him around. You know, he faked one way, faked the other way, broke into the slant, had Adderley all spun around, and it was really impressive. And I think he's been super impressive, a surprise this week.
It's kind of funny because, you know, we were watching the Shrine guys the week before, John, and, you know, we're watching guys like Terry Godwin or like Keyshawn Johnson, and we're over here like, why aren't they in the Senior Bowl? You know, like, who's Penny Hart? Like, get Penny Hart out of here. Like, who is this? And then, you know, he's out here putting guys in blenders all week long, and we're like, all right, well, good call, you know. Yeah. So it's funny kind of how that works out. The wide receiver, you know, another guy that I think everybody here at this little round table, if you want to call it that, likes is Terry McLaurin from Ohio State.
Yeah.
What have you seen from him? Because going into the week, you know, we've talked about this before. We had Jim Nagy on the show, and he said that NFL teams wanted Terry McLaurin to be at this. I know that they reached out to Paris Campbell as well. He had the better stats, but NFL teams made sure that they wanted to see McLaurin here. And he had the first day he was clocked with the fastest time on his routes, yeah, right? And yeah. So this dude's got legit speed, but you've been, just from talking to you and listening to you and reading some of your work this week, you think it's more than just that straight line speed, right?
Yes, he's been killing it in his route running. I mean, every single play, very consistent. I've not seen him take a bad rep in one-on-ones yet. And that's not saying he's catching everything, because some throws are off and some, you know, it's spotty ball placement.
Right.
But he's getting open, I think, pretty much every time. You know, he's finishing a lot. His route running has been very consistent, creating a ton of separation, especially in one-on-ones, which is exactly what you want to see. Especially a guy like him who's a halfway in between. Is he a slot? Is he an outside guy? Mm-hmm. He's on the outside, and he's producing.
Yeah. Right. No, we were watching a rep there. Actually, you showed me this the other day where they had him at punt gunner. And, you know, it's the little stuff that you can pick up on. Sometimes it's not even those one-on-ones or the seven-on-sevens. He's doing punt gunning. He's got those two guys in front of him.
Yep.
And he turns his hips so quick and gets to the outside. Like, the two guys can't even contain him, and he's immediately by. He's up the field. And I think those are little hints that you kind of pick up on, too.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, for me, watching McLaurin this week has been awesome, because I knew he was supposed to be fast, and Jim Nagy talked to us when he was on the show, Trevor, about his upside at the position and the NFL's interest in him. But, man, I feel like watching a little bit of him at Ohio State and here, he looks like a lock top 100 pick. I didn't know really what to expect coming into the week, like if he would really affirm that or not. But if anything, he's looked even better than that. He said he was going to run a 4.35. I don't know. That might
he's
be a little
bit. He's not running a 4.35.
Yeah. That, but 4.4s, right?
Yeah.
4.4s. Yeah, I think he can get in the 4.4s as well. There's a lot of receivers to get to and to talk about. I want to make sure we do touch on them all. But you and I have talked about this, Brad. We love Deebo Samuel in the offseason. We loved him throughout the season. We loved him after the season. You know, the different. He did fall a little bit for me. Beyond, you know, graded out a little bit worse for me. But I did think he improved as the year went on this past season. And I think that for me, what I said when I published his report is if he shows out at the Senior Bowl and if he impresses at the combine with his explosiveness and his long speed, I'm very okay, open and okay to moving him back up to that early second, late first round range that I probably would have originally had him in.
I agree, and he has crushed it this week. I think we knew going in he was the class of the position at the Senior Bowl, and I think we have been reinforced that he is the class of the position at the Senior Bowl. As good as McLaurin has been and these other guys have been, Deebo is on another level than these guys. Like you said, I mean, route running, explosiveness, ball carrier, contact balance, that dude has it all. He's a great frame. He weighed in great. He's 216 pounds.
Yeah, what was he? What did you think? Wasn't he more like 220-ish?
No, 215 is what he's listed at South Carolina's roster. Do you like him at 216? Do you think he should cut some?
I mean, he got measured a shade under 6 feet. He looks a little thick in the midsection. I think he could cut maybe 3 or 4 pounds, kind of chisel up his stomach
he
a little bit and be like 210.
210, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the perfect weight for him.
Why isn't he 210 then?
I don't know. He doesn't look like bad weight.
I mean,
like,
it's not necessarily bad weight, but I mean,
he looks like he's too rocked up. He's like Anquan Boldin.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, he's, I mean, but he knew this event was coming, you know? Like,
right.
Why,
well, I think
why
you don't
need
to be until the combine. If he's 210 for the combine, water weight, and a lot of guys' weight moves. Mine can move 3 pounds in a day. You know what I mean? Like, it just, there's a lot of variables, I think. You know, some guys, they act like, well, I was 250 in the morning, or I was 250 the night before, and then I was 250, you know. So I don't know. There's a lot that goes into it, but I think I'm with you, Brad. I would like to see him at like 210, I think, to play it, and I think he seemed like that's where his best weight was. Interesting thing to me about Deebo Samuel, I'm curious if this bothers you. He said, when I was talking to him in the interviews portion of Tuesday, he said to me that his biggest weakness as a player was as a blocker because of an effort thing. He said it's a want-to thing for me. I was like, oh, so you're – I don't know that I've ever heard.
You're basically saying you don't want to block.
I don't know that I've ever heard a player just basically say, like, I don't have a desire to block, like, and just, like, he was cool with that. I mean, I think he wants to get better, but does that bother you at all?
I think, on film, if a receiver's not blocking, it's going to drive me absolutely insane.
Yeah.
I mean, I preach that to my guys.
Right.
I think that's huge. But in saying that to you, that's a little bit of an accountability thing. Like, he knows this is what I need to fix going to play in the NFL, and they're not going to tolerate it up there. So I need to get this right.
I mean, if he goes in the NFL and he is determined as a blocker, like if he is more motivated, then I think you maybe go back to that quote, that Senior Bowl quote, and you go, okay, this is a dude who was brutally honest with himself and fixed it. And at that point, like, that then becomes a good trait, right? That you can trust him for a while. So if he gets better as a blocker, then I really do think that you could almost look back in this interview and be like, wow, this guy really held himself accountable. He was brutally honest with himself, and then he changed it for the better. So I think that gives you faith that when a guy says he's going to work on it and his craft, whether whatever it is down the line in his career, his coaches are teaching him that you can actually trust it. So
yeah, absolutely. No, I think that you guys make good points, and I think hopefully the things keep moving in that direction for him. Brad, I'm curious. I know you've watched a lot of these receivers a whole lot. Gary Jennings from WVU is a late call up here. David Sills, the WVU receiver that gets more attention, is already here. I watched Oklahoma and WVU. I was in person. It was actually for Cal Crab's bachelor party, and we went to the game. And when I was there, I kept saying, man, Gary Jennings looks amazing. Like, he looks a guy with upside, like, athleticism, length, you know, a lot of different traits. What have you seen that you like about Jennings, and why, you know, do you feel like he can be a sleeper in this class?
Yeah, I definitely do. I actually watched the first practice, watched every one-on-one rep. I was right down, like, third row with my phone out, taking all these videos. And I thought Jennings looked fine. You know, two passes went deep on him, and they were overthrows. Right. And then I go back to the film, and of the South team, he's the fastest receiver by a wide margin. Yeah, wow. And it was all on those vertical throws. You could see him open up. And this is a guy who's like 6'2". I think he weighed in at like 210, 215. Yeah. It's like, if you can run like that, get downfield, you're going to have a role in the NFL.
Right.
100%. An NFL team is going to take a shot on you. You're the primary deep threat. He's also a guy that can break a lot of tackles. He can go up and get the ball and then break a tackle and break off an even bigger gain. So, I mean, I think he's helping his stock this week.
Yeah, that's huge. And David Sills, his counterpart, some good, some bad. I mean, what have you seen from him this weekend? A lot of people I'm starting to see say Jennings might be better than Sills, and I think that would have been heresy in the season.
I think Sills had two really good one-on-one reps. First practice, went deep, went up and got the ball. One of them came over the shoulder from Will Greer. You could tell he had some chemistry, and that obviously hit in that play. But then, like you said, there's been a lot of bad, especially in the short and intermediate stuff. His route breaks still aren't that crisp, and I think it's kind of coming back to bite him. And then he's dealing with size now that he's never seen. Isaiah Johnson's like 6'2", over 200 pounds, and he never saw that in the Big 12, right. And it definitely bothered him during the first practice.
Yeah. Anthony Johnson, we've talked about a lot. You and I have had conversations about him because Buffalo fans are crazy. In a good way. They want a cape for their guys, and I think it's great. Like Tyree and him and Khalil Hodge, you know, a lot of questions we get about them on social because there are such really good Buffalo Bulls fans out there. But at the same time, Anthony Johnson's kind of a hard evaluation, for me at least, because when I watched him, I thought, I don't know that this guy does much poorly, but he doesn't do anything really elite either.
I think that's a fair evaluation, and it's going to come down to, you know, this guy has a very high floor. Him and Renfro are probably the two guys I'm like, I'm sure this guy is going to be productive in the NFL. But where is the ceiling for that production? It's very questionable, especially with Anthony Johnson. He's had some good, had some bad. I think he's going to be consistent. He can be a possession receiver, but I don't think he's much more than that.
Right. There's a lot of different receivers, obviously, to talk about in this class. Andy Isabella from UMass seems to be getting the most attention right now.
People just don't know what to think about him because at the beginning of the routes, I mean, like, this dude's got some of the fastest feet and some of the fastest cuts, like, I've ever freaking seen.
Right.
But then also, you know, I was talking with Brad about him a little bit, and I was like, what do you think about him? Because Brad knows wide receivers better than me. And he's like, okay, the feet, yeah, it's there. I'm seeing the same things you were seeing, but there's little nuances of his game that you still have questions of, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, everything when it comes to vertical cuts, he's not doing them a lot this week. Everything's horizontal with him so far, in breaking routes, out breaking routes, like straight to the sideline or straight in, and those have been great for him. It's like, but I want to see you not just, you know, run a fade route. How about a post? How about a corner? It's like, can you actually win at those? And he's catching everything with his body. And when he's not catching with his body, he's dropping them.
Right.
It's like, so that's a huge small hand. So that's a huge concern. Mm-hmm. I mean, in the next level, if you don't have that separation as much as you did in college, are you going to be able to finish through contact?
Right.
I don't know if I see that with him.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. I mean, there are guys in the NFL that do catch more with their body than their hands, but there are more cases of guys who can't make a living off of doing it than I guess the guys that you can. And you always want to play the numbers in your favor, I guess, if you can. Because the going side to side routes, I think you're right. They've been having him do a lot more of that, but I think that's kind of a niche place in the NFL, is it not? Like being a horizontal guy rather than a vertical guy.
Oh, I mean, Cole Beasley's made what, 8 years off of it?
Yeah, that's true.
I think you bring up some good points with him, and I think the receiver that is in some ways kind of supplanted Isabella and stolen a lot of people's hearts this week, even though Isabella had that flashy.
Do you use heart? Do you use heart on purpose?
I did.
You did.
Wow. And literally, I'm about to tie that in.
Okay.
And you jumped right in to just ran on my parade.
That's but, you know, if this is your first time listening to the podcast, it's going to happen a lot more. So keep listening. Hit subscribe.
Penny Hart has stolen people's hearts. That was what I was getting to there. Brad, your thoughts on Penny Hart, this wide receiver, Georgia State, obviously. I think he's done some great things this week. Can he win inside? Can he win outside?
Yes and yes. Nice. The reason he can win outside
all is right, great. First round wide receiver. There it is, folks. Wrap it up.
Because he's beating press coverage because he's so quick and he's so shifty laterally. So it's like, obviously, he can win the side. Did his entire career at Georgia State. Mm-hmm. He went in motion a ton. He was kick returner, punt returner. I mean, he did it all. And now he's on the outside beating press coverage. I mean, he can do it all.
That's awesome. That's to me, he's been the biggest revelation this week in terms of a guy. There was only like 10 or 12 guys here that I hadn't seen at all. He was one of them. He was a late addition to the roster.
Right, yeah.
I was like, who is this guy? Stats weren't even that great. I was like, this is probably, you know, no offense to Jalen Smith, but, I mean, some offense. I don't know why he's on the roster. And I thought this was going to be another one of those situations. Man, he's made that look wrong. I mean, he might help the stock as much as any player at this.
No, I think that's really fair because, you know, there's a lot of reports this week of like, oh, this person's stock up, he's had a good day. We were talking about Montez Sweat a little bit earlier in the week. You know, right. Montez Sweat, he's got a couple of reps where he's blowing up these tackles, he's setting them up well, he's beating them up with bull rush moves, but like we already knew that about Montez Sweat. Right. So you know, Ben Solak said this earlier in the week, and I really liked it. You know, you don't count traits twice, right? Once you see the trait, that is what it is. And when you scout him, you have to be able to then look at his tape, and even if he makes a good play, go, yes, we expected this. This right. is where I already had the guy graded. But with Penny Hart, I'm with you. Because with Penny Hart, it was kind of like, who is this guy? I don't really know him. I don't really know where he wins. And he seems to be winning in certain areas of playing the receiver that, we just didn't even see other receivers in the Senior Bowl being able to make. So in terms of what you're saying right there, that stock up, I don't know if I would say Hanks, the linebacker, and then Hart are probably the two dudes that I've looked at this week and been like, yeah, your stock's probably up more than anybody else.
Before we get some superlatives out of you for this week from what you've seen so far, Brad, I know we've got another day of practice still to undergo later today, but Jacoby Myers from NC State, that's kind of my guy. I know Joe Marino will claim him as well, but on this podcast, at least, I think he's like my guy kind of. Like, I really like this tape. I had to watch like six games to get a great feel. He does run a lot of short to intermediate stuff at NC State, but when they asked him to get vertical, his ball skills consistently showed he went up. He challenged defensive backs in the air, natural adjustments to the football, and high point catches. What do you think of Jacoby Myers so far this week? Is he more than just a slot where he worked primarily at NC State? Can he play outside too? Where is he best in the NFL?
I think in some few cases he can play on the outside, but I do think he's better suited for the slot. He has beaten press coverage to the inside this week, but more often than not, he's struggled. He's really kind of just uncomfortable really with how he turns his hips and shoulders and how to really get by that press coverage and how to defeat contact when you are getting contacted. So I think he's better suited for the slot. Really unique prospect in that sense because he's got good feet, but he's also got good size. He's not your typical like Cole Beasley type of slot receiver. He's a little bit different and is a guy who can stretch the field, go up the seam. So he's going to be a unique piece. I think he's going to fit into an NFL offense very well because has pretty good versatility.
Yeah, I think that's the big thing is that you talking about the different types of slots. And some guys are more in the horizontal game, and that's pretty much it. And other slots are in the horizontal and vertical game, and they can win on both planes. But I think we see a lot of guys here.
We're getting so many different branched off positions, man. NFL is growing so much to be such a niche league in so many ways. I mean, we see it on defense with slot defenders. We've seen it with tight ends, and now we're seeing it with even receivers who play slot. It is just becoming so much of they're focusing on finding mismatches. And like even like a guy like Andy Isabella, maybe he can't go vertical. You know, maybe he's not going to be a hands catcher, whatever. But if you can win horizontally in some routes, some NFL team is going to be like, okay, there's our horizontal guy. We will design plays for you, and you will get right, and you will get open. And so, it's becoming such a niche league, and that's why really identifying what these guys do specifically well, I think, is becoming more and more important as football kind of ages.
Brad, who so far this week of the wide receiver group has been disappointing to you, has not lived up to expectations, or maybe you expected them to struggle, and they have, and you feel like at this point you're kind of sure kind of where their stock is, and it's not in a good place.
Well, I was pretty sure Jalen Smith was going to be a disappointment, and I've been proven correct. But the one guy who I was a little unsure on was Alex Wesley from Northern Colorado. Not that productive as an FCS receiver. A little over 1,000 yards, 4 touchdowns, 57 catches he had this past season. But as he got invited to the Senior Bowl, I did some research into him, and he was 14th in the country in the 400 meter at NCAA Nationals. Oh. I was like, this guy's got some juice.
Right.
And then he comes out here and he does essentially nothing for two practices. Yeah. And now it's like, nah, this guy is not, in fact, it.
Right, yeah. You watch Travis Fulgham, some too, from Old Dominion, and I know you've got a chance to see him in practices now. Great blocker. You loved his blocking.
Love it.
Best in the class, didn't you say?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. What have you thought of him?
Wait, whole class?
Fulgham.
Whole class.
Wide receiver blocking, yes.
Like, not Senior Bowl. Like, whole class.
Entire class.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. I just had to clarify.
But have you seen him as a receiver? Have you seen him? What have you noticed this week?
I think they're really trying to use him vertically.
Yeah.
And that is not necessarily his best game because I don't think he's that fast. I think he's like maybe high 4.5s, maybe 4.6, which kind of scary. But he has seemed pretty decent, especially for his size. He's 6'2", 210, at breaking off curl routes and comeback routes. So if he's going to be used vertically on that vertical plane, that's where he's going to thrive. And then obviously, you know, he provides a little extra a niche thing in his stock blocking.
Not to put you on the spot completely, but as we wrap up the show, is there a comp from this year's Senior Bowl class? Any player in this year's class, Senior Bowl class or whatever, that you feel really suits somebody? If you take one guy from this class or maybe a couple guys from the Senior Bowl group and you comp them to a player or two in the NFL, is there a comp that you feel really good about from this year's group?
As far as the receivers go, and I actually mentioned this during our mock draft live today.
Yeah.
I like Kelvin Harmon as a Miles Austin type.
Yeah.
I think that they fit each other's body size. I mean, their athleticism, how smooth they are, consistent they are, refinement, all that type of stuff. As far as the Senior Bowl guys go, Tyree Brady has really good feet, and then sometimes he's able to puck the ball out of the air, and then sometimes he's not. And he reminds me in a lot of ways of like Marvin Jones, if he was like a poor man's Marvin Jones,
because
he has a little bit of good feet. He can win in the air, but it just kind of comes and goes, pretty physical, and then he has that size too, similar to Jones does.
That's interesting. Those are two comps you wouldn't hear anywhere else. That's how you know if this guy does his homework, because it's not just generic BS, but it's actual stuff that other people aren't talking about.
I want to come up with a different term for like poor man's. Like, we got to start like making it like great value.
Yeah.
Dollar general.
Like dollar menu this
middle
guy.
Middle class man.
Yeah, something.
Completely destitute human being.
Okay, you're taking it a little too far.
We're getting like
you're like classing people. I'm just trying to come up like diet,
you're
you know?
To creative version.
Sure, like sugar. Yeah, like a sugar free Adam Thielen.
That,
I don't know what that means, but you know,
if we start
saying it. Yeah. Wow! All right, there we go.
It's done.
If we start saying it enough, people start. Somebody's gonna say it on NFL Network, and we're gonna be like, "You owe me royalty for that."
Yeah, the revolution has begun, ladies and gentlemen. Right here on the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. Again, today after Senior Bowl practice, we will have live Senior Bowl coverage. Wrapping up the show, Brad and I will actually be talking wide receivers to open that show. That's going to be a lot of fun. We'll talk about their performance on day 3 of practices. We'll have lots to discuss as the show goes on. Full staff, everybody's going to be on camera at some point, so it'll be a good time. We're excited for you guys to tune in with us. And, of course, check out all our Senior Bowl coverage at thedraftnetwork.com and over at the Draft Dudes podcast as well as this podcast to listen to Kyle and Joe breaking down the week and how it's gone so far. So until next time, keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.